It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. And welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. As we look at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. Correct, Producer Steve?
Oh, yeah. And go ahead. Go down the list of the methods of force. Go ahead.
Okay.
Only because it's growing.
Yeah. Weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation or fees. We should add that in there.
Yay, Douglas County.
Yeah, or fear. Yeah. And that's one thing. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they said that they'd gotten the valuation of their house, their assessed valuation.
I was hoping that's where you were going, because I got mine.
Okay. And your property's gone up in value. Yay, right? Except there's a hidden tax increase.
How many double-edged swords do we deal with every day? That's one of them.
Yeah. And that is a very subtle way for your taxes to go up. And so as what we've seen when we've talked to Karen Levine with Remax Alliance, one of our great sponsors, we've realized that it's been policy that has constricted the building of new homes. And right now we have such an inventory challenge regarding people want to buy homes, but there's not homes available. And so what happens then is your demand, the supply is limited, demand is great, and so that value goes up, which I guess is pretty cool if you're going to sell your house, right, Steve? But if you're not, it's just a hidden tax increase, another tax increase every year as the value goes up.
Karen would probably slap me upside the head, and that's fine, but I look at this, I've been watching this go on now for, what, almost 40 years since you know, officially moving to Colorado, and watching this system in place, and you know, who sent out those tax notices? The county, mm-hmm. Our county. And you're thinking, what's going through their heads? I mean, do they see nothing but dollar signs? Ooh, look at the increase that we're going to be able to put out there. But yet, they themselves, in their own private lives, they face the same thing.
They do have to face the same thing. However, their salaries and their pensions and their benefits all come from the taxpayer as well. So that's why we really need to stop the growth of government and all these bureaucracies. And we're going to visit about that in just a minute after we talk about our bill of the day. But before we get to that, I always like to say thank you. First of all, it's May, and it snowed last night, and it is absolutely gorgeous out there. But it is clearly springtime in the Rockies, Steve.
I'm staying amazed at the technology. I mean, I sit here, I get here at 4:30 or so, and I had to, you know, babysit things in general. And how quickly we were listening to the previous show before ours, and all of a sudden that signal went to, it just went out the window. So I'm scrambling to run what we call manual, and just to keep a solid signal on the air. And it's like, what happened here? The fog, the snow / rain, it's just incredible. But it's springtime in the Rockies.
Well, and just clarify, that the weather really will affect the satellite feeds. Explain that to our listeners.
Well, it's rather simple. I mean, the satellite is, you know, a satellite that stays in the same position or synchronous, and it, you know, it's 22,500 miles out there. And it's raining down a signal on us, and our satellite receiver is up north of Denver, and apparently it must be snowing pretty good up there because all of a sudden that signal just basically disappeared.
Okay. And so Steve's having a great morning. Steve's having a Monday morning on a Tuesday.
Yeah, well, that happens.
It does happen. But I do get to work with really great people, and that is Producer Steve and Zach and Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Thank you to each and every one of them, and thank you to each and every one of you. You are treasured. You're valued. You have a purpose. Strive for excellence and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And I really love hearing from all of you. I am working to respond as quickly as I can. We've got a lot of moving parts over here. I'm watching all that. And just know that I do care about you deeply, and I will be getting back to you. I'm making progress on that, Steve, but we try to jam so much into every day. It's a lot going on over here, a lot of moving parts. And the dog ate my homework.
Anybody who's ever watched a butterfly, how they never basically stay in one place for very long, you remind me of a butterfly.
We got a lot to do and a lot going on. Speaking of a lot to do, a week from Thursday, May 20th, we are having our very first Salon Series webinar, and it is Candid COVID Conversations. Councilwoman from Lakewood, Ramey Johnson, came up with this idea to put together some experts on some of the things that have really affected us during COVID. And it's going to be great. It's $5 plus a $1 processing fee. And it will be a webinar. And it's not a Zoom meeting. It's going to be an actual webinar. And our panelists are Dr. Jill Vecchio. She'll be talking about COVID, the symptoms, the treatments, the vaccine. Matt Durkin, who is with the Jefferson County District Attorney's Office, ran for DA out there. Unfortunately, he lost to a Soros-funded candidate there. And in fact, what we see then is that really starts to affect the safety of your community. So we'll be talking with Matt about crime. I'm calling it COVID crime. How's that? And then Priscilla Ron, she is a teacher, a former principal. She is the new vice chair of the Colorado GOP, and she's going to talk to us about the education of our kids. And then Sue Kinfield, who is an expert in our well-being. She's going to talk about resiliency and just mental well-being. So it's going to be a great event on May 20th. Tickets are going to go on sale tomorrow, and so we'll let you know about that. But I'm very excited about this, Steve.
Well, you should be. And can I publicly apologize to Matt? Because yesterday when you went through this list, I got sidetracked and I missed his name. And I came back later and said, you know, well, this is a great panel of women, blah, blah, blah. And you said, well, what about Matt? And I'm looking at you like, well, what about Matt? Sorry, Matt.
Yes, Matt Durkin. And very important. So I'm really excited about that. And again, the tickets will go on sale tomorrow. Let's jump over here to our quote of the day. Oh, did you see this? I was looking for taxation quotes.
Well, I'm desperately looking for the inspirational quote of the day. I'm not seeing it, but I see this little bit of snarkism here. Go ahead.
And that is what it is. It was, I found this, I was looking for taxation quotes, and this was the suggested IRS motto. I will tell you, actually, it's the motto of Jared Polis and the Colorado Democrat State Legislature. It says, "We have what it takes to take what you have."
Oh, amen.
Again, we have what it takes to take what you have. And we see they're working hard on that, Producer Steve.
And if only the public at large were aware of what's going on.
Well, that's why we do this show. And we will be talking with Roger Hayes in the third and fourth segment. He is the president of Premier Employer Services. And I want to find out what he thinks are the top three most onerous bills out there. So you won't want to miss that either. Let's see. Let's jump over here to our bill of the day. And I find this so interesting. When I say that the left is playing long ball and we are playing tiddlywinks on the conservative side, I'm not kidding you, because when I was on city council, my very first meeting in 2012, and there's this group, it's called Colorado Municipal League, and all the cities and towns pay dues to it. So your tax dollars go to Colorado Municipal League. And they pay lobbyists that go out and lobby on behalf of the towns and cities and villages of Colorado. Not you, the taxpayer, but those particular entities. And they have a big meeting each summer. One year it's in Breckenridge, and then the other year it's in Vail, and city council people from and mayors from all over the state go. And then there's breakout sessions, and many of these breakout sessions are ways to grow government. That's not exactly what they say, but that is exactly what it is. But I remember being in a ballroom of probably, I bet there was 800 or 900 people there. And a city council person got up. I can't remember if she was from Aspen or from Golden. I can't remember. But anyway, she got up and she made the case that we needed to ban plastic bags. This was way back in 2012. And we've seen cities in different states that have been doing this. And now guess what? Colorado, House Bill 21, 1162. They call it the Management of Plastic Products. And basically, it's a bill to ban certain single-use plastics, and it's moving forward here in Colorado. It includes things like your plastic bags at grocery stores and styrofoam containers often used for takeout orders at restaurants. If this bill is signed into law, and this is KRDO, says if this bill is signed into law, stores would only be allowed to use recycled paper carryout bags, and customers would have to pay 10 cents for each bag they use or bring their own. The money from those bag fees would go to recycling programs. Stores using plastic bags and styrofoam containers would be able to use up their inventory before making the switch. Democrat Representative Alex Valdez is one of the sponsors of the bill. And he says, plastic pollution is a crisis in our state and country, and this bill is a step towards helping the environment. He also raised concerns about plastic pollution leading to microplastics that end up in our food. Democrat Representative Lisa Cutter also sponsored the bill, says the issue is too big to fix with recycling. But it's not all smooth sailing for the bill. Even though it passed the House, Republican Representative Colin Larson voted against the measure. Good for Colin. Larson said, in a year where restaurants have been absolutely devastated because of COVID and everything else going on, to raise their cost of doing business by buying more expensive takeout material just really seems tone deaf. The bill passed the House on Wednesday, 40-23, showing a lean towards support of the measure. Now it's headed to the Senate. And once again, Steve, first of all, people reuse these plastic bags on a regular basis, or they typically recycle them. That's what I normally do. But think about walking your dog or moms with dirty diapers. People reuse these plastic bags. And so they're not, and so they're actually charging a fee for this. And the other thing about it is think about during this whole COVID thing, with all the takeout, all the costs that businesses incurred to just try to stay alive. And can you believe all of the takeout, all the plastic that you would get when you ordered something for takeout? I was thinking, this seems to be opposite what the radical activists are saying about plastic, but during COVID, it was okay that we had all of this takeout material.
Well, okay, we do our little pre-call before on your way in and just kind of, you know, swap notes on what we're going to cover. And I said to you at the time, it's like, okay, I've read through this thing and maybe I didn't get far enough into it. Obviously, I didn't, because I've been looking at the quote-unquote bills of the day that we've been doing now for, what, 6-8 weeks? Mm-hmm. And always looking for what is the stated problem? What are we trying to overcome with this legislation? And I didn't see it right up front, but you just now, you know, enlightened me as to what it is they're trying to do here.
So they're saying there is a problem. I don't think there is a problem, but they state that. And then they come in and they have the government solution to the perceived problem.
Yeah, the problem is they always state it in such a way that only we, you know, we, the enlightened ones, can fix this. And I'm just not convinced that that's true. Yes, recycling, if we could just step up to the plate and maybe make recycling more effective than it currently is. And there's just got to be something besides government oversight. And again, there have been other bills of the day that we have covered that when you look on the grand scheme of thing in terms of priority, like if there were 800 things to cover, this is 799.
Well, and I think Representative Larson really has nailed it. Here we have all of these restaurants, the hospitality industry, that has just been decimated because of this reaction and disruption to the COVID China Wuhan virus. And now, when businesses are getting squeezed with additional costs for employment to hiring people, and then people not coming back to work because they're making more on unemployment, just it seems like they continue to try to shut down and make it harder for small businesses to do business. And the other thing about it is, Steve, is we can actually reduce the use of plastic bags. When I go over and I say, if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to do it. I think just an education campaign that if you don't need a plastic bag, don't take one. And that would reduce it significantly. There's times where I say, oh, I can just take this. I don't need a plastic bag. But when I need a plastic bag, when you're that working mom, that single mom that you're running into the grocery store because you've got kids that you need to feed and you don't have that dirty reusable bag, do you wash your reusable bags?
No.
There you have it. And most people don't. And they take those into the grocery store and just think about they're probably not that clean.
Are you a Sam's Club member by chance?
No.
Okay. Well, Sam's, with the advent of Sam's and when they, whatever they did, you know, pushing away from Walmart to become that own same entity, we know that they're all the same corporation. But in a Sam's Club environment, there are no bags. They from day one, that's the way it was. And people who have that membership, they don't expect to. To have a bag, then they know that they have to deal with the transportation of whatever is purchased. It's on them.
So is it boxes or you take your bags in or how does that work?
Well, mostly, I mean, it's a combination. They all the boxes used to bring goods into the store are made available to the customers. So it's either that or you just take your shopping cart out to your vehicle and you just unload
everything
it item by item. But
okay, it's
the point is Walmart Corporation from day one with the Sam's Club idea concept, you know, it was on the customer to take care of this. And I wonder if it's not time to maybe, you know, revisit this kind of stuff.
I still think people should be able to have bags. I think this goes back to the World Economic Forum that says you will own nothing. And so that if they make it harder or more expensive for you to go to the market and buy stuff, I think it's just another form of control.
Well, on the lighter side, when I go to King Soopers today, the young people are there bagging and carrying on, and we'll talk about it in conversation. I started my first job in the grocery store in 1972. No comments from you. But it was long before the words paper or plastic were ever uttered. And when I share that with these people, they look at me like, huh?
Well, and let's just think about that. One other quick comment before we go to break. Basically, don't you remember when we wanted to get rid of paper bags because it was hurting trees, right, or cutting down trees? It decimated the lumber industry. And my understanding right now is lumber is so expensive if you're going to try to do some kind of a project right now. It's just continual. And as I say, this was back in 2012 that I saw this movement towards this. And we need to stop and say, stop this. No more taxes. Let's engage in this battle of ideas. And good for Colin Larson. Really appreciate. We had a great quote from him yesterday too. So good job on that. Let's go to break. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my great partners. And when they deliver, the girls are going to come over tomorrow. And I'm going to order from Hooters, from Grubhub, have that delivered. And I do appreciate all the takeout material that they have on that. Hooters Restaurants, they have 5 locations, Westminster, Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They have all kinds of specials. Great place to go to meet up with friends and just watch some of the sports out there. And so go to my website. That's kimmunson.com. Click on the sponsors tab. I love all those sponsors. Click on Hooters. All their specials will come up. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to keep our independent voice on the air. We look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And we search these issues for truth and clarity. And we hope that this helps you as you are engaging with your friends and your family and your colleagues, because we really are in an ideological, I think, D-Day, really, what's going on in our country right now, Steve.
Well, I just go back to that snarky quote. We have what it takes to take what you have. Yes.
And they're using public policy. It is really theft. It is really theft for government to grow beyond what it is supposed to be doing and to use public policy and excessive taxation, unpredictable taxation, fees. When we were talking about, we're going to talk about this transportation bill on Thursday, calling things fees, the way that they've gone through all these gyrations so that they don't have to ask the voter. It's like they're afraid we'll say no. Because there is plenty of money. We do not need another tax increase across the spectrum. And what really makes me mad, Steve, is when you read these different ballot questions when they're trying to raise taxes, they now have embedded in most all the time the detabling, saying that they'll get to keep the excess revenue. They won't have to ask you. And we're seeing that in a number of these pieces of legislation as well. And I voted no on a South Suburban Parks and Recreation question because they asked for something specific and that seemed okay. But then embedded in the language was the detabling of it. And Tabor is the Colorado's taxpayer rights. And I feel that's disingenuous between the entity asking for your taxes and you, the taxpayer, Steve.
Well, this is probably not going where you were expecting to go. I noticed yesterday in the package, North Carolina is considering a Tabor-like legislation. And it's hilarious on one hand, but it's incredibly sad on the other. I don't know if the North Carolina Democrats ran to Colorado or if the Colorado Democrats ran to North Carolina with their claims of what the damage that Tabor has done to Colorado, and they're trying to influence North Carolina right now to the negative.
Well, and Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights has been probably the thing that has made us prosperous, and it's done some great stuff to try to keep government in check. But as we've talked about it, you see all these gyrations to try to get around it. It's basically Colorado's Taxpayers Bill of Rights is just basically about good manners. It says to PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, if you want to raise our taxes, you just have to ask us. If you want to keep excess revenue above when the government takes in something more than inflation plus population growth, you just have to ask us. If you want to incur debt, and that we have to pay off, you just have to ask us. And Colorado is not doing as well economically. And with all these policies that are coming through, I know a lot of people, a lot of business people that are leaving the state, Steve. I know a lot of creative, productive people are leaving the state because of these policies.
Well, does it sound like any other state, issues that other states might be facing? California and New York State come to mind.
Yep. And, of course, we've been a California wannabes out here. When we come to this next election cycle, we need to elect people that understand that government is of the people, by the people. It's not all these bureaucrats and politicians and interested parties. One question that you had mentioned, Steve, and it would be interesting with all of these bills of the day that we've done, that you said we should start to try to keep a running total on how many new entities, new bureaucrats, new commissions, new divisions are being created this year.
I took a little wordplay here with a thesaurus, but I know these words have been in almost every one of these things. Committees, boards, bureaus, councils, commissions, panels, task force. How many, what's happening to the head count in government and therefore the cost of government?
And the other thing is, it's not just a Democrat situation trying to get rid of Tabor. There are Republicans that don't like Tabor as well. These big government Republicans, we need to actually make sure that we are electing small government conservatives to these offices that will make government smaller so that everyday people can thrive and prosper. Jason McBride, Senior VP with Presidential Wealth Management. I think you like lower taxes, right?
I don't know who wouldn't. Except people that aren't paying them.
The people that aren't paying them don't mind them. That's true. And it's human nature, Jason, that people don't like to pay taxes, but they like to have other people pay taxes.
Yeah, well, I think it's human nature. We don't want to pay for anything that we don't have to, and taxes has a special dislike because you're being forced to give your money to someone who might not spend it on anything that would benefit you. And in fact, they may spend it on things that would be a detriment to you. So I think that's why taxes hold such a special place in America's heart.
Well, and did you hear I don't know if you tuned in early here when we did the quote of the day. I said it was a suggested IRS motto, but I said it's the motto of Jared Polis in Colorado's Democrat state legislature. We have what it takes to take all you have.
Yeah, I've heard that one before. That's for sure.
So, hey, Jason, I know that you have been doing some of these annuity checkups with people. Has that been pretty helpful?
Well, the people that I've done it with say that it's been helpful, and I've been doing these for years, and I usually find that people are pretty happy when we're done reviewing their documents and what they have because, you know, annuities have a lot of different features to them. I mean, that's the reason people invest into them in the first place, usually, because they have some kind of features or provisions or guarantees of some type on them that just, you know, investing in a stock or a mutual fund does not. But over time, people may forget exactly how it works. They may forget exactly what they were thinking or why they did it in the first place. And, you know, these reviews can really help to bring that back into focus. And, Kim, I usually find about 3 out of 4 times that people might come in thinking they've got something that's no good or it's bad, and they actually leave pretty happy with what they have once they understand it.
How can people reach you, Jason, to set up? And there's no cost, right? No cost to do this?
There's no cost. That's one of the other reasons they leave so happy.
For sure. How can people reach you if they'd like to set up a time to go through that?
Best way is just give us a call, Kim, 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600.
Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one, Kim.
You bet. And we will be right back with Roger Hayes. He is the owner and president of Premier Employer Services. And he's watching what's happening down at the State House and want to find out what he thinks are the top 3 most onerous bills out there. We'll be right back.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing. Greatly appreciate that. We are an independent voice. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And be on the lookout tomorrow. Our tickets will be going on sale for our salon series, Candid COVID Conversations. It is a web event, and those tickets are $5. Plus a $1 processing fee, and you will be able to purchase those starting tomorrow. Let's jump over here. Another great way that I stay on the air is I have really terrific partners, and one of those is Roger Hayes. He is the president of Premier Employer Services. He keeps an eye on what is happening down at the State House because it's very important that he know what's going on because of his business. Roger, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Beautiful snowy Colorado day.
Huh? It's springtime in the Rockies for sure.
You gotta love it.
Hey, Roger, before we get into this, explain to our listeners exactly what you do, what your business does.
So I own a professional employer organization, which is a human resource outsourcing company. We do payroll, benefits administration, human resource administration, workers' comp administration for a lot of small and mid-sized businesses, predominantly here in Colorado, but we do have employees all over the country. So we take care of all that, you know, back of the house compliance stuff for companies, because nobody starts a business to fill out paperwork for the feds or the state. So it takes you away from doing what you're supposed to be doing, and we take that off your plate and give you some space and make sure you stay in compliance to try to avoid a lot of unnecessary hassles with the government.
Well, and Roger, that is why you really watch what is happening down at the Colorado State House. And it's astounding to me. It's like they don't like small business down there. They're making it more expensive, more difficult for our everyday entrepreneurs, our small business people to thrive and prosper. And I know that's why you're watching what's going on. What is the top three bills that you're most concerned about for Coloradans?
Well, I know you've talked about one of these extensively. Excuse me. But one of the big ones that we're worried about is the health insurance, state mandate bill, House Bill 1232, the one that's going to offer the public option.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a big expense and problem for a lot of smaller businesses, just from a cost problem, right? We already have high, expensive health insurance. And we saw what happened when they put the Affordable Care Act into place. It really didn't solve the problem like they promised. This isn't going to do that either. This is going to run costs up. It's going to create more problems. So that's one of the ones that we're watching. But I know you've covered that a lot, but it is a very important bill for small business. A couple of the other ones that are really problematic are both Senate bills. One is 176, which is it's a discrimination employment practice law that really changes the definition of what harassment is in the state of Colorado. And it includes a lot of other groups that have normally not been considered employees. It kind of brings them in. And then Senate Bill 197, which is a change to the workers' compensation legislation that we have. And those are the other two really big ones. So we can go over those each. Just which one do you want to grab first?
Let's go to this House Bill 1232, the public option. And what we saw under Obamacare or the Unaffordable Care Act is that it did become unaffordable. When I talk to everyday families, their premiums went up significantly. Their deductibles went up significantly. And so in essence, their costs went up significantly. It started to limit some of the options that they had for health care. And then the continued thing when you get government into these is quality can go down. So I'm very concerned about this public option. Do you think it's going to pass, Roger?
Well, right now, the Democratic Party has absolute total control of our legislature, and I don't see how it can be stopped, to be truthful. I don't know. I'd be stunned if it didn't pass. It's going to be amended a little bit, tweaked here and there, but I think all three of these bills are going to go through. I don't think there's anything that a whole lot of us can do to put the brakes on them, unless there's a real huge groundswell of grassroots, you know, business people and other citizens calling up saying, look, you do this and you're out of office. One of the biggest problems with the public option bill is the control that it gives to the secretary, the commissioner of insurance in the state of Colorado. The insurance commissioner is going to basically become a health insurance czar and will be able to dictate who and what happens, which they can't currently do right now. And it's just insane how this bill was written, that you would give the insurance commissioner, somebody who just comes and goes, they're appointed by the governor, basically, at a whim. And they're going to completely dominate health insurance. What the rates are, what, you know, what programs are offered, what products, what, you know, there's a lot of crazy stuff in it, and it's terrifying, because all of a sudden one individual who's not elected by the public is going to dictate what your insurance premiums are. Well, and to me, that's just absolutely insane.
Well, it is insane. And whatever happened, Roger, to the doctor-patient relationship? Where, and really it goes back, don't you think, to, was it in the 60s with the wage and price controls, that then employers, in order to attract employees, that they decided to start to offer health care, and then we were off to the races. And
yeah,
here
absolutely.
We are now.
When you look at a lot of other, you know, modern countries around the world, they've got, you know, some sort of socialized medicine. But we're unique in the fact that we get most of our medicine through our employers. And that's actually right where it started, was in order to compete. It's kind of like right now today, an employer may say, hey, look, we've got a better benefits package, or we match our 401k better than the guy across the street. It, you know, to be competitive, employers started offering health insurance. And the government kind of abdicated and said, hey, you go right ahead and do that. We don't want to mess with it. And private insurance started to be offered through the employers, and it built through the 70s, and now we've got what we have today. It does definitely need a little bit of adjusting here and there. It's not perfect by any means, but what they're proposing with this public option is going to be a real devastating move from my point of view. And I think a lot of it comes down, to answer your question, is basically the philosophy of a lot of the folks up at the Capitol is, you and I are just too darn stupid to know what's good for us, and they're going to help us. And so they're going to take this away from us. They're going to give it to the insurance commissioner, because the insurance commissioner currently is a Democrat, and he's much smarter than we are. And it's almost like daycare. You know, we're children. We don't know what we're doing, and they're going to take care of it for us.
But in essence, what it is, it's about control. And what we've seen with this whole disruption, this COVID-19 China Wuhan virus disruption over this last year, when PBIs, these politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties, start to make decisions and they start to pick winners and losers. And we are moving so far away, Roger, from our American idea that all men are created equal, they have these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, that government justice is impartial, justice is blind. Not at all. They will start to choose who gets what kind of insurance and who doesn't, right? I mean, am I hearing you correctly?
Well, that's kind of how the law's written. You know, the insurance commissioner in the state of Colorado is going to be able to dictate a lot of that. I mean, the amount of control that is going to be given to the insurance commissioner is astronomical. And so it is very possible that if you get the wrong person in that job and they decide, hey, this feels really good, you know, this glove fits really well, I like being a mini dictator when it comes to health insurance, they're going to pick and choose what you can have and what you can't have. Very much so.
Well, and let's just play this out on the division that's going on in our country right now regarding the vaccine. So you've got an insurance commissioner that might say, if you don't have X, or if you do have X or whatever, then you will get X, you'll get to do X. I mean, I see this as a big, big, dangerous problem.
Well, if you look at health insurance, we've done things similar to it over the years. You know, like with regard to smokers, premiums were higher. You know, if you smoke, your premiums are higher. And I understand why that is, and it makes mm-hmm. a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
You tend to have more health problems. You're going to utilize the insurance programs more than other people. So well, if you're going to use them a lot, you're going to have to pay a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But we can take that out there a little ways and say, okay, if you don't wear a mask, you pay more. Or if you didn't get your vaccine because you don't believe in vaccines, you can't have access to these type of products. You can only have access to this, you know, really crappy HMO over here. That's your only option. Or they just say you can't even have insurance at all. I mean, you could take it to the extreme without question. And it gets really scary. And when it comes to employers, costs can start going up. And if you happen to be an employer that isn't on the good list, you know, like Santa's Christmas list, and this is government's Santa list, if you're not on the good list, you may be paying a ton more, or you may not even be able to offer benefits to your employees. They may all, you know, they'll force you all onto the state option.
Because the insurance commissioner says so, right?
It could be, yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
The way the bill's written, the insurance commissioner has a lot of leeway in this. And it's not quite that bad yet. But when it comes to this public option, the insurance commissioner has a ton of power to determine, you know, a lot of what is, how pricing goes and what offers are out there and what products can be offered. And it's just, it's really, that's the worst part of this bill is it's not that, you know, like the Affordable Care Act changed the dynamic a lot and it, you know, put a program out there where they taxed people to pay for their thing. That was a bad deal. But at no point did they make the director of the Health and Human Services completely in charge of all health insurance in the U.S. And that's what we're going to try to do here in Colorado.
Has anybody else done this throughout the country?
Not yet.
Of course not.
Even California and Hawaii haven't touched this yet. And so we're going to break some ground with this thing.
Roger, we are the Petri dish for all of this. And okay, so tell us where we are. What's the status and what do we need to do?
With this bill?
Yeah.
It's you know, working its way through committee hearings, and it's, you know, it's passing out of everything it touches, and that's, people need to just do the standard, call their legislators and say, look, this is too much, it goes too far, and it needs to be amended and or killed. And really, at the end of the day, the only people that can stop this are voters who are going to, you know, withhold their vote, and or people who donate money to politicians and say, I'm going to withhold that from you if this thing goes through.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to make phone calls. They have to approach their elected representatives or senators and tell them, look, this is a great idea, very, very poorly. We've gone way too far. It's poorly written.
Actually, I don't think it's a great idea either, but I know that you're just you're giving them a little bit
polite,
of a bone.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
You run in and kick them in the shin, they're not going to give you anything.
That's not going to happen.
Try to do something, right?
That's House Bill 1232. So that is some homework for each and every one of us to do, is to call our representatives on that. Let's go to break. On the line with me is Roger Hayes. He is the president of Premier Employer Services. They are a partner of the Kim Munson Show. Before we go to break, another great partner is Castlegate Knife and Tool, and they are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Father's Day is coming up, and it is a great place to do your Father's Day shopping. And go to castlegate.com. That is their website. You'll see their wide array of products. They have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. Check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. We'll be right back with Roger Hayes.
Controlling your own destiny. There are a lot of unknowns on the horizon with the new administration. Predovich & Company is here to help. Trusted professionals for all your bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting needs. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. They've been helping her for years. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company works with clients from anywhere in the United States. Give them a call at 303-791-3000 to put Predovich & Company to work for you. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who are contributing to support our independent voice as we search for truth and clarity, looking at these issues, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something is a good idea, you should not have to force people. But apparently down at the State House right now, Roger Hayes, these Democrat legislators and this governor like force. Let's talk about this next bill that you think has some real far-reaching consequences, and that's Senate Bill 176.
So this is a bill that changes some of the discriminatory practices, some of the requirements for employers. It's been amended extensively. So it's not as bad as it started out. It's still not great, but it's nowhere near as bad as it started. When they started out, they were bringing a lot of traditional independent contractor type groups into discrimination issues. So that you could be sued for, as an employer, you could easily be sued for discrimination. Nobody wants to work at a company that makes you feel, you know, you don't want to sit out in the parking lot and sob before you go to work because it's so miserable. However, this took it so far that if your employer made you feel bad, you could file a discrimination claim. And normally in the state of Colorado, we've had a great tradition where if you feel that you're being treated differently because of your sex or your color, you know, the number of things, you can go to the Civil Rights Commission, file a grievance. They'll investigate. You could contact the federal EEOC. They would investigate. If they determine there's problems, you know, they can fine or penalize the employer. And if they determine that there really isn't a whole lot there, then they give you the opportunity to go and get an attorney and file a lawsuit. But you've got to exhaust a number of processes. So it really does a great job of weeding out frivolous cases, you know, where somebody just got their feelings hurt one day or they didn't get a promotion, and by God, they're going to make somebody pay. This bill takes all of that away and allows you to go directly to your local attorney and skip that process and immediately file a lawsuit. And it's virtually for pretty much any reason you want. If they just make you feel bad, and that's really how it was originally written, was if your employer makes you feel bad, you can file a lawsuit. And the way those work in Colorado is, as if one of your employees wants to sue you and they lose, you as the employer in Colorado end up still having to pay all the bills. If they file a lawsuit and you are found to be correct as the employer, you can't force the employee to pay your lawyer costs. You have to pay those yourself, and a lot of times you end up paying theirs as well. And especially if you lose, then obviously, you know, you're going to pay everything. But what really made this one more dangerous is the inclusion of a lot of different things that we normally didn't consider to be harassment. And the usually it has to be, you know, continuous, ongoing, pervasive kind of behavior. You have to show that it wasn't just a one-day thing where your employer came to work and their grandma had passed away and they were in a rotten mood and yelled at you for something stupid, then it never happened again. One of the big changes on this bill is it doesn't have to be pervasive. It can be a one-off. Your employer could come to work and have just come from the doctor and found out they have cancer and they are in a bad mood and yell at you, and you can file a lawsuit because they hurt your feelings.
Roger, I don't know what to say about this. When we have kids that are graduating from college that feel like they are entitled to that corner office and that they know how to run everything because they graduated from these colleges that are now making them feel like victims, this is really, I mean, I'm thinking as an employer, how do I hire? I think this really will limit people's opportunities for employment.
Well, the question comes, how do you hire? Because, you know, a lot of the folks nowadays are coming out exactly as you said. It's very different than previous groups that, you know, in the workforce. But the other problem is, how do you maintain your employment? How do you keep people working when you're absolutely going to be terrified that if you hurt their feelings, if you give an employee a raise because they've been working really hard and they deserve one, but you don't give the other guy a raise because he hasn't been doing his job or he's just mediocre, well, now he's mad and he can file a lawsuit against you. And you may or may not win or lose the lawsuit, but you're going to spend a ton of money in the process. And for small businesses, $35,000, $40,000 on court costs and lawyer fees could be enough to put you out of business, especially what really drives me insane about these bills is the timing of them. Our legislature is attacking, and that, I'm going to use that word because that's how it feels as a business owner. They are attacking businesses, especially small business in Colorado, at a time where a lot of these businesses have been really crippled by COVID. Mm-hmm. And some of them have made it. They've managed to, you know, really tighten the shoestrings and keep going. And now all of a sudden your legislature, who swears that they love business, mm-hmm. is just beating you upside the head every time you turn around and making it harder and harder and harder. And when your bank accounts are pretty much empty and somebody wants to file a lawsuit for you and try to get $25,000 or $30,000 out of you, that could be just enough to get rid of you. And then after all you've done to get through COVID, now a disgruntled employee who didn't get the promotion they wanted or they didn't get the raise that they wanted put you under.
Wow. Okay, and that's Senate Bill 176, Senate Bill 176. So contact your senators and representatives on that. And then Senate Bill 197.
And that's a change to the workers' comp rules here. Well, we've got a great workers' compensation system. And for those folks that don't run businesses or really follow this, workers' comp is the law that if you get hurt while you're at work, if you get injured, then you've got insurance coverage to help fix whatever's wrong and get you back to work so that you don't go unprotected. And it's outside of the regular health insurance setup, so you're not tapping into your own personal health insurance. And if you happen to not have health insurance, at least you've got medical coverage because the injury was based upon something that happened during your employment. And Colorado's got one of the best systems in the country. We have a great workers' comp rated system here in Colorado. Pinnacle Assurance is a quasi-state entity that does a fantastic job. It's one of the best workers' comp insurers in the entire country. And they've got about 51 or so percent of all of workers' comp coverage in the state. And this bill is going to come in, and it's going to fix it. Right now, as an employer, we determine four different doctors, and then our employees can choose one of those four doctors to go to for their care. So they can pick which one they want. And it just kind of helps keep the system running smoothly. We don't have employees going to all kinds of different physicians, and they're not constantly changing doctors because they're shopping to find somebody who's going to tell them they don't ever have to go back to work again for small ailments. But this bill would make a big change to workers' comp where the employee gets to pick their doctor, and they can change their doctors at any time. And it's going to really add a lot of time to the system and cost. And as usual, it's going to screw the whole thing up, and we're no longer going to be in such great shape in the country. We're not going to have the best workers' comp program out here. And it's kind of a system where you look at it and say, what are we trying to fix here? Because mm-hmm. there really isn't a problem. This isn't a major issue. I haven't had an employee in 12, 13 years of business complain that their workers' comp doctor was terrible. And if they are, they've got a couple of other options they can switch to. So this is another bill for employers that's really going to screw things up. It's going to result, just like everything else that they touch, it's going to result in our workers' comp premiums skyrocketing and the process slowing down and getting muddled and being a virtual nightmare.
Roger Hayes, president of Premier Employer Services, how does a small business make it in Colorado with all of this stuff that's coming through?
Well, it used to be pretty easy. We used to be one of the best pro-business states in the country, even with Governor Hickenlooper. We were one of the most dominant, best business climates. And over the last couple of years, we have plunged rapidly, so we're no longer even in the, I don't believe we're in the top 25 anymore. And when the new numbers come out this year, we're going to be probably well below that. It's really hard. It is getting harder and harder. And so what ends up happening is, you know, businesses, especially larger ones that, you know, employ more than 100 people, they start looking around and saying, well, Wyoming's not too bad, or Utah is not so bad. I think I'm going to pack up and move. And then you've got states like Texas that are doing all kinds of things to recruit businesses there. That's what's going on. We're seeing a lot of folks, you know, give it up and get out of here. And it's just becoming harder and harder. And after these bills pass, it's going to be that much harder, that much more expensive. And a lot of folks are going to choose not to start businesses. So you're not going to have the backfill when we're having all these other things go under due to COVID and other reasons. And it just gets really, really tough.
Okay. I'm going to ask you this question. We have about a minute left. Why? Why on earth are they doing this down at the State House? Do you have a reason?
you know, I waffle back and forth between they just hate business. And, but the real reason is, honestly, I think they truly in their heart believe they're helping people, that business is evil. At the end of the day, business owners are evil, corrupt, mean people. And I've had a number of them tell me to my face that we're all rich. I know a lot of small business owners that make less than some of their sales staff. Mm-hmm. They just don't bring home that much money. But if you talk to a legislator, business owners are rich, they're greedy, and they're evil. And so they're going to fix this, and they're going to make sure that you know, the scales are balanced and the workers have the same rights as the owners, even though they don't have the same risks or liabilities, and they aren't taking the same chances. But they've convinced themselves that they're superheroes and they're here to rescue us from ourselves.
Roger Hayes, one of the most compassionate things that one person can do to another is to give them a job, to provide a job, to take the risk and the capital, to create the opportunity for employment where people can take care of their families and they can earn a living. And that is, I think, one of the most compassionate things that people can do. Your final thought, Roger Hayes.
That is getting much more difficult, and a lot fewer jobs are going to be available because of a number of reasons. But legislation like this that raises the costs and the risks for employers, you're going to really hesitate to hire and offer those people jobs because you're like, look, I just can't take that risk. So I'm going to do what I can do with what I have, and I trust the folks that I have, so I'm not going to take any risks on someone new.
Okay, Roger Hayes, Premier Employer Services, partner of the Kim Munson Show. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kim. Take care.
And our quote for today is from Ronald Reagan. He says, the taxpayer, that's someone who works for the government but doesn't have to take a civil service examination. So my friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell